Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcasting platforms. This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon titled, Choosing Maturity, from Luke 2, 41 through 52.
Our passage today comes out of the Gospel of Luke, second chapter. It's one of those small stories, one of the little glimpses into who Jesus was as a child. And it's one of the only ones we have. It begins in verse 41. It says, each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to their custom. And after the festival was over, they were returning home, but the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't know it. Supposing that he was among their band of travelers, they journeyed on for a full day while looking for him among their family and friends. And when they didn't find Jesus, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple. He was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and putting questions to them, and everyone who heard him was amazed by his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were shocked. And his mother said, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Listen, your father and I have been worried. We've been looking for you." Jesus replied, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my Father's house?" But they didn't understand what he said to them. Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. His mother cherished every word in her heart. And Jesus matured in wisdom and years in favor with God and with people. This story is so deep and rich. It's got so many different places to jump in. I'll tell you what strikes me this week about this passage. It has to do with this issue of maturity. I'm going to talk a little bit about maturity this morning. And I know that when I do that, as soon as I say that, for some, this feels like bad news. At the end of 2020, when we are already feeling overwhelmed by all the things that we haven't gotten right behind us, how are we going to tackle something new? If you are one of those who feels just beat up and weary and bewildered, relax, it's not that kind of sermon. It is, it's not loading up one more thing. And even if it were, you would be among good company. I love this picture and the observation that's made with it, that even Jesus's parents, the parents of the Son of God, lost him for 4 days. So you're in good company, parents and grandparents and communities, and if you're feeling out of sorts, you're not alone. But more to the point, far from being bad news, far from being one more thing that we're not doing right and feeling that it's not enough, when I'm talking about maturity, that I think is one of the most important things that we could be talking about, particularly this year, it's one of the least understood still. It's critically needed, and far from being bad news, it may be at the very heart of the gospel, the good news itself. And here's what I mean. Let's start with just some general observations. First off, maturity is needed. It was needed by Jesus. I know the focus of this story is sometimes the precociousness of Jesus at 12 and just how amazing he was at 12. But he was still at 12. And our story goes out of the way not only to spotlight how special this child was, that even then you could see something was going on, but it also underlines and spotlights and emphasizes that there was maturing that needed to go. He was perfect for 12, but that meant he also needed the change. At the bookend, right before this passage and at the very end of this passage, are two very common themes. And when the Bible repeats itself like that, it's usually trying to make a point. And it was that Jesus continued to grow. He continued to mature. And if Jesus continued and needed to mature, then maybe it's okay for us to need to do the same as well. I know it is odd for some, and even to talk about this feels a little odd, that people think, well, Jesus is Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's divine. How could he need to mature? But if we push that a little bit, we recognize just how ridiculous that sounds. As if Jesus was born and then was able to get up and walk around. He was able to complete full sentences as he was talking. Didn't really need to go to school because he already had that knowledge in him. Never fell, never skinned his knee because, you know, he's perfect. He's God, he's divine. If there had been Jeopardy, he would have been the grand champion, even of categories that hadn't been invented yet, because he already knew that stuff. Because why? Because he was divine. This is not new. In fact, one of the ancient heresies back then, if you ever want to impress friends, it's called Docetism. But even if you don't know the name of it, you should know this, that there was this idea early on that Jesus wasn't really human. He just kind of looked human. He took on the appearance of being human because he was divine, and as such, he couldn't possibly be also human. But our passage goes far out of its way to make that point again and again, and the whole of Scripture does, that Jesus was completely human, which meant he was completely and perfectly who he was at that age and needed to grow. Last week, I talked about this passage as one way of elevating the great vocation of raising children for parents, for extended families, for communities of faith, that when we are tending to the nurture and the development of children, this is high and holy work. This week, I want to take that another step. I want to talk about the high and holy work of growing yourself. It is just as high, it is just as holy, and it is just as necessary. We are exactly where we are supposed to be in order to change what is coming, the change that is in us that needs to happen next. We know this with children, that when we talk about maturity, we're not judging them. We're noting, and it's more of a joy when we are with our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, or the children of a faith community, and we see them wrestling with and struggling with and trying to understand certain things. And there's a part of it, isn't there, that honors that and says, this, you're doing exactly the right, you're asking exactly the right questions. You are struggling with exactly the right issues. And I can't tell you how much, there's so much good stuff still to come. And as you tend to the work of this stage, boy, then it sets you up for what's, I can't wait for you to see what's next. We know that with children who are 8, we know it when they're 18, we forget that sometimes as adults, it is the same work, that we're still not done. There is still maturity that needs to come when we're 88. There are still things to wrestle with. There are still new discoveries waiting to be made. And the invitation is to learn those lessons, to do that work, because that's not a judgment. That's the call of maturity is an invitation. It's part of the joy. It's part of the Spirit nudging us, going, can't wait for you to see what's next. Take care. Notice what you're doing. Pay attention here, because there's more to come. I can't wait to show you what's coming. It's especially true for a people who call themselves as the children of God, the beloved. And that passage that Henry Nouwen has given us that is sort of the anchor for this year for me, that to be the beloved is not only the birthright of who we are, it's not only the core of who we are, the origin, it's also the fulfillment of who we are. It's the goal, and it's the process. It's the path we are on, and so that every step of the way, we are beloved. Our identity is we are already beloved, and now we're trying to grow into that. And that means we need to mature. There's a process. And we begin to develop this anticipation for what's next. Anne Lamott maybe said it best when she said, God loves you right where you're at, and too much to leave you where you are. In that is the essence of you are already beloved, and because you're beloved, there's more to come. And if you're wondering what's more to come, then we're ready for that next part. Not only is maturity something that is needed, maturity is a choice. It's about here where somebody will ask the question, but Russ, I don't get it. On the one hand, you keep saying that there's nothing you can do to make God love you more or less. And that's true. And at the same time, you're saying you need to change. How can that be? They are both true. And here's how. And it begins that puzzle that seems like such a predicament starts to unravel and fall apart when we realize a couple things. One, change is not a choice. Change is inevitable. We are changing whether we want to or not. That we will change isn't the issue. It's how we will change. We already know that everything that we are doing, we're changing even as we're sitting here, even as we're living and breathing. Our cells are changing. Our world is changing. We're moving at 1,000 miles an hour as we spin around this globe. This globe is spinning almost 70,000 miles around the sun. The sun is spinning at what? Almost 500,000 miles around the galaxy. And the whole galaxy is moving out into the universe at over 1 million miles a minute. So two things. One is, now you know why you get a little dizzy when you stand up too soon. But the second part is, we can't not change. Our bodies are changing. Our world is changing. Change isn't the choice. The choice is how we will change. And that means maturity is a choice. We get to change. Not only is change not a choice, but neither is formation. Sometimes we talk about, and I hear people talking about formation as if that is something that's higher level Christianity. Like, well, when I get to that point, maybe then I will get into formation and think about that. Formation is inevitable as well. I love the way Dallas Willard says it when he says that terrorists and saints are the outcome of spiritual formation. They both have been changed. Their spirits and their hearts have been formed. We are constantly being formed by our environment. We are constantly being formed. The only question is, how will we be formed? Maturity, as the Bible talks about it, is a choice we get to make about how we will change. You are already loved. We are already beloved, and that never changes. There are things that are going to happen, and now we get to choose how we will, or if we will, mature. Which sets us up for the third part, which is not only is change necessary, not only is it a choice, it is possible. That maturity is possible is truly part of the good news, that we get to choose. That we don't have to be just reacting and passive to all the things that are going around us. There are so many things that are happening to us that we have no control over, and 2020 is just the only example we really need. But in that, we actually get to choose how we will show up, and we can choose how we will approach change, and we get to choose what will happen inside of us. And therefore, it's part of the good news. It's at the heart of the gospel. It is who we get to be. So many people are so concerned with and believe that faith, that the whole point of faith is to make me happy. And we go for the things that make us happy. And there's nothing wrong with happiness, but the real goal of faith is to make you holy. It's to bring about the change. And it's not for the sake of God's approval. It's for the sake of our own destiny, of who we are supposed to be. Because the choices we make, when we make the choices to become mature, We choose to become our true self, and it's possible. The evidence in history, it's there. It's not chosen as often, and it's not that it's that complicated, it's just that it's often neglected. But there are plenty of evidence and plenty of resources that help people shape and grow as a community and as individuals. One of the things I talk about here is the 5x5, that there are five core strengths to develop, and there are five essential habits to develop within yourself as well. And whether you choose those or not, if you'd like to know more about those will be at the end of the service, and there's some resources there. But the point isn't that or one of the other. Those are personal choices, and they're intensely personal. And it's not a matter of whether or not which one you choose, it's that you choose something. And it's that you choose something that is both worthy of who you are, worthy of the calling, of what it means to be the beloved. You know, if it didn't matter if it didn't matter who we were or where we were going, then it really wouldn't matter what strengths we have or what practices we develop, because who cares? We're just here. But the fact that you and I are the beloved, what are the strengths that you need to develop? What are the practices you need to create that are worthy of the calling of being a beloved child of God, to grow into that? And then, is it sufficient for the time? Is it sufficient for the challenges ahead? If this was a year that we know was going to be just smooth sailing and everything was going to be pretty much as it has always been, probably don't need to do too much. I don't think it's going to be that kind of year, do you? So when I say that this subject of maturity is critically important, this is what I'm saying. That you have a high and holy calling on your life, as do I. We are the beloved. What is worthy of that calling? What is sufficient for our time? This is what I mean when Anne Lamott talks about God loves you right where you're at, and too much to leave you there. There is so much that is still to come, and you get to choose how you will do that. And amongst all the changes that you don't get to make, here's one that you do. Jesus and his family went to Jerusalem, as was their custom, to celebrate the Passover. The next time Luke talks about Passover is about 20 years later, when Jesus enters into Jerusalem for the last time and sits at that meal called Passover, which has transcended into our communion. I don't know if Jesus was there more times than that, but I know that Luke is telling this story in a way to make a point, consciously trying to say that what happened there at Passover as an adult had a lot to do with who Jesus was and the nurture, the development, the maturity that was being developed when Jesus was 12. That because of what was being paid attention to and honored there, then Jesus could transcend and transform this and make this a table and a meal for the people who want to be transformed. Listen, the good news is that amidst all the problems and all the chaos and all the things that we don't get to choose, the one thing we do get to choose, the one that is absolutely necessary to choose, is maturity. Not only for ourselves, but our world. There is an aching need for it. We get to choose it. And we get to choose it because it is part of the high and holy work. It is part of the gospel, the possibility of change. And it's being offered to us by the one who went to that table, transformed it, transcended it, and is offering it to us today at this table of welcome. As we come to the end of this service, there is the question of what's next. All worship is asking for a response. And maybe there was something in today's service that had your name on it that you should be paying attention to, in the music or the scripture, the prayer, or just something in the sitting here of you just notice that there's something that the Spirit has been nudging you on. I hope you'll pay attention. I hope you'll especially pay attention that of all the choices that you and I are going to make right now, maybe the most important choice, the most important resolution we decide to or not make is the one about maturity. There's going to be some resources. There are resources around what we have developed here called 5x5. There are lots of other places. If you'd like to check that out, you'll see it at the end of the service. There'll be some slides with some instructions on how to do that. All of which gets to this. Whether you're using that or something else isn't the point. The real point is how will we respond to God in this year that is ahead? You can almost hear, you can almost sense the Spirit saying, I can't wait for you to see what's next. Friends, I can't wait to go there together. And I'm looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to this journey as those who are beloved of God. As we go out, the charge, of course, as the beloved, is to love back. Love God with everything you've got. Love your neighbor as yourself. And as you go, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. In believing, may you abound with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. As you go, may you go with the peace of Christ. May it go before you. May it hold you up. May it move you along. May it support you. Everywhere you go, may the peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace.